What does that mean, radiance by design? Is that we are radiant beings. We're vehicles of light. We're vibrational vehicles. And we can send a radiance out into the world that can actually change the world. We start with ourselves and we work our way through. Today we're going to talk about, this is part two, talking about journey of souls, the journey of your soul, and how you have a lot of innate wisdom, a lot of kind of, what would you call it, prescribed drama. You have all kinds of situations that your soul brings you to because it's craving or it's wanting to move through a really creative, fulfilling kind of life. Now, I think there's a lot of mobility in the soul, meaning when we have a drive in the soul, it can probably present itself in a great number of ways, and we're going to talk about those ways, and we're going to look at you when you call in, do a mini reading on the journey of your soul. What's up with you? What's stopping you right now? What's drawing you in? And that's usually a sign of the soul big time. What's drawing you into some kind of either relationship or drama? We talked a bit about soulmates last week. We probably always talk a bit about soulmates. And whether you're coming together with people of your soul grouping, of your soul family, or if you're coming into oppositional relationships because the soul connection is bringing you toward getting together with people that are going to push your buttons and make you learn something. A lot of it is about the soul. And we're going to do a number of little meditations today. But I'll tell you what we'd like to do is have an impact on the planet as well. So I'm asking all of you listening to Radiance by Design, I would like all of you to take a minute, take a deep breath, and let's all send light to Southern California where the fires are tremendous. I keep hearing from people that are evacuating their houses. There's a lot going on down there, and a lot of people apparently are advertising that they've got room for evacuees to come stay and so on. So let's just all take a minute and raise our fields. Take a deep breath, in fact, which helps exchange your tensions and release you to higher fields of energy. We're calling in the presence of the higher ones, our ascended ones, those beings of light that work with us and around us, working for consciousness, love, and expression. And let's call up some golden light, and some pink harmonizing light, and some very strong blue light, and send that light through our bodies, and through our hearts, down to absolutely encase and enclose those areas that are burning, to talk with the Santa Ana winds and back them up, or maybe raise them so that they're way higher off the planet. To soothe and cool and heat and soothe and cool the land. Bless Mother Earth with some water, with some rain. Excellent. And send that soothing, supportive light to the people whose houses are burning or those who are in danger, that they all feel protected and are protected. And again, take our gold, pink, and blue light. If you get different colors, that's fine. And wrap that area one more time. And then let's come back here in our center. And remember, whenever you think about that area, send light, send energy. It's magical. You're magical. And that's what our show is all about anyway, is how you can be magical by getting attuned to the driving energies in your body, mind. What are you letting drive you, and what are you choosing to have drive you? Because you're a vibrational vehicle of light that can become very conscious about that. So we're going to talk about soul journeys today, and I really want you to be calling in. And it's and then we're going to do Paradigm Shifters, which is a show which always brings somebody who's right in the art of shifting our paradigm from that which is kind of victimized to creating an empowered paradigm. And a lot of us are hearing about equine therapy these days, equine facilitated learning about how the use of horses, working with horses and horses' consciousness and horses' ancient wisdom really impacts us. So we heal and they heal. There are so many situations going on using horses these days. And one of the big pivotal learning centers that we know about is Linda Kohanov's Epona. And her sidekick, her second-hand man, second-hand woman, is Kathleen Ingram. Kathleen's going to join us at 5 o'clock, and we're going to learn about equine-facilitated learning, trainings, shamanic work, and so on. It should be pretty exciting. But right now, we're being shamanic with ourselves. Shamanic is about changing your frequency, changing your consciousness, and moving into another level of consciousness in which we can create magic for ourselves and the whole planet. We're shifting the paradigm too, aren't we? So the first thing I want us to do, well, this is actually the second now, isn't it? The second thing I want us to do is do a structure. And most of you who listen to this show are accustomed to these structures. These are vibrational creations that we all do in order to walk in the world in a protected environment, and actually thinking about people in San Diego and south of Los Angeles. I go, you know, the structures can really help us be protected and create, walk on the earth in such a way as to create a vibrational protective tool around us so that we're not just being buffeted about by that which is going on. Excuse me. So, let's all do the structures together. Take another deep breath and drop into your center. And above your head, we'll do it differently today. Above your head, perhaps 5 miles, see a golden ball. And it's very, very gold, but you'll notice coming off it, there are white and greenish hues from amazing elements. And below your spine, perhaps 20 feet, same thing, golden ball. And let's drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball right down through your spine and into the lower golden ball. Now take a minute to feel the presence of that filament of light. I see it as a radiant white with some greenish stuff coming off it, which the guides say it's from the noble gases. Now I'm going to create a golden ball 20 feet in front. You're going to create it 20 feet in front of you, 4 feet behind you, and 8 feet on either side. So you have this funny structure around you. And now connect those golden balls with beautiful golden lines. And you'll notice it's a little bit like the deck of a ship. It points forward 20 feet, outside to side 8 feet, and behind you 4 feet. And now from the upper golden ball, which we drew today is 5 feet high, 5 miles high, drop many, many, many shimmering filaments of light. So you close in the upper part from the top ball to the deck. And from the side golden rails, drop many, many filaments of light to the lower ball. And now you're in a closed-in structure, and it's just shimmering. I look out, and I see all your shimmering ships of light. And inside of it, you put the etheric crystal ball, and it's all around your body, and the edges of it touch the inner edges of your structure. Take a look at the colors and feel the profound strength of feminine energy in this crystal ball. And you move in farther. Excellent. Now see a double tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And you go right inside that pyramid. Well, it's now a diamond shape. And spin and spin and spin and spin. It's a wild ride, and you can feel your frequencies move up as you spin. Now, as you spin in that, see in front of you a magical screen. And on that magical screen, you place all the little movies of what you want to create in the world. We can put in creating a healing for the fires down in the Southwest. And we can create all those visions of what it is you yourself want to participate in, the healing that you want for yourself and for others. What is it you want to create for your resources, your wealth? your politics, animals, your multidimensionality. And doing this on your own, you can spend even a half an hour doing this. Come back to your double tetrahedron. Is it still spinning? If it isn't, just spin it a couple of times before you get out. You know what's really interesting about that is that you can take your double tetrahedron like that and you can put anything inside it. You can put every cell of your body inside it and spin as many double tetrahedrons as you can even envision or think about. You can put in it any problem you have, anything that you're trying to create at the time, stuff you're worried about in your checkbook and whatever, and yourself and your facelift and your hairdo, who doesn't matter. We can go big, we can go small. But it's such a magical vibrational support tool, and I recommend that you use it. Now, we're going to have some callers today, I hope. I love to have callers. We're going to talk about the journey of the soul, as I said before. We talked about it last week, and we're going to talk about what drives the journey of our soul. What are the most important things in your life? Have you ever gotten to the point where you get all the things that you want? For example, you got married, got your great house, got your kids, and you're still going, I don't feel fulfilled. Something's missing. There's a call of the soul that if you're not answering it, and, you know, sometimes it's really hard to know what the call of the soul is. But sometimes you get it by that kind of reflection, which seems a little bit, maybe that seems a little bit lacking. But often it's like that. It's, I think I want this. Oh, dear, it didn't satisfy me. There's got to be something else. And, you know, the other thing is, like, maybe you want to be a computer whiz, but your visions keep breaking open. You keep seeing things. The next thing you don't know, you're taking courses on shamanic work, or else you're just sitting around following your vision. I had a bit of that kind of story. I'll talk about that later. And then there, not that I was trying to be a computer whiz, but I had a life that I was planning because I knew I was different inside. Okay, this is a good example, actually. I knew inside I wasn't what I was on the outside, but I was always afraid that what was going on inside was wrong. And I was seeing things and people's faces were changing, and it got a lot more complicated than that. Even when I was a very small person. And so I figured if I just kept working the outside of my life, everything would work out. But you know what? It doesn't, because that isn't my soul journey. I finally had to make peace with having visions, to use them appropriately, to get better at visions and stop denying that I have them. And believe me, I did a lot of stuff to stop them. That's kind of interesting. And there are certain people that we pretty much have to meet, soul people. And, you know, sometimes my understanding is soul people are people that you meet and you're absolutely attracted, or people phone me and say, I just know this person. And I go, because soul people very often are people that you have unfinished soul business with. It isn't always that way. Sometimes soul people are people that you meet to get your soul work done. But sometimes, so how do we discern? How do we figure out? And if you meet somebody and you're going to have this traumatic soul-to-soul journey together, do you have to go through it? Or can you learn that you're going to have some, I believe this, that you can learn to recognize what it is and not have to ride the ship down into the real third-dimensional drama. However, I didn't do that. I'm telling you stuff that I learned by becoming 100 years old. And having gone through all kinds of trauma, you realize in retrospect, or you realize watching people now, that you can make choices in the moment like, whoa, this person is very much a soul person. It feels like a push-pull. There's some kind of battle going on deeply underneath. And if you're really lucky, you get to see what that's all about. But for most of us, it's a push-pull that you can stand back and go, you know, that isn't quite what I want to do right now. And you can actually love and bless this person. You can release and forgive the person, even though they haven't done anything with you right now. If there's a push-pull, you can bet your bottom dollar that the soul has recorded incompletions in other lives and that you're here to kind of get those finished. So they might be about betrayals or untimely death experiences or somebody killed somebody or whatever. You don't really have to go through the reality of it. We'll get into more of that in a little bit. I'm being bossed around here by somebody who's my soul ally. And the thing is that I'm in a wonderful relationship, which is soul. And this is something I'd like to say, that we do know each other, but there's no push-pull, and there's no really bumpy stuff. Whereas I've had soul-journeying relationships or soulmate relationships that are just horrendous, that people are really mad at each other. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on you cannot figure out. A, why the person's so mad over whatever incident happened, and B, how to unhook the anger and the resentment because it seems to come with the soul journey. You understand what I'm saying? So the requirement is to get that finished. But in our relationship, I don't feel like that happens, and the guides often say, your soul allies, you're meant to actually nurture and support one another to get much of the soul work recognized and done in this lifetime. So I really recommend that. And you can make a choice if you're entering relationship. You can make choices about whether you want to stay in the push-pull, as you don't have to do that. Push-pull will often really drag you through the mire, and you'll finally end up going, well, that person was just really crazy, or that person was this or that. But the reality is, in the soul mate kind of business, you don't know why each of you is drawn back together. You don't know what murky stuff lurks in the shadow and in the belly and in the soul journey that's trying to get healed. But in any case, if you want to call in about your life and what's going on in your life, I'll give you the numbers. And then we're going to talk about getting hold of some of the wisdom of your soul journey. How can you tap into your soul journey and what it is your soul's on about? Going to do a little bit of inner meditation stuff. Twice we've already meditated. Now we're going to meditate again. Holy mackerel. But before that, we're going to take your calls. This is from the U.S., 877-876-5227. I'll repeat that. If you're in the States, it's 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, call us at 888-815-9756. That's it. If you're calling from Canada, 888-815-9756. And if you're calling on the direct line, it's 530-8763-222, 530-8763-222. So let's find out, let's go hunting for some clues of what's going on in your soul journey. What are you on about in this lifetime? What is your soul trying to get? My belief also is, as an intuitive, because I'm an intuitive and an energy counselor, and I see things and hear things, and very often I see the soul and how the soul journey is butting up against some of your drives and cravings and other people's soul journey in this lifetime. I see that a lot, and sometimes it's really a simple energy shift to get people to move into greater harmony with themselves first, because if you're on soul connection with someone, you got to be attuned to yourself. If you're busy being attuned to them, it isn't going to work for you. So in readings, that's what we do. We look for that kind of thing. We unhook some of the trauma or some of the self-deceptions that are placed in our mind and heart by our emotions. Good old emotions. Don't they do a wonderful job with us? Actually, they're the language of the soul. Emotions are the language of the soul in many ways. And emotions can lead us to a lot of places. They can also blind us, and I think we all know that. Got to write poetry to get your emotions sorted out. So call in. But in the meantime, we're going to do another meditation. This is just a simple cast yourself back in time and see what you can come up with. And you might want to have a pencil and paper there to bring some key points up that you can work with later. If you'd like to understand what the journey of your soul is all about, one of the ways to do it is to move back in time. So I would like you to sit and be really relaxed, and you can close your eyes unless you're driving. Be really relaxed. If you're driving, don't do this exercise with me, but you're probably not anyway. Okay, so just relax. And we're going to move back into our bodies and then back through our bodies and back through time. You go back in time and you sort of experience how it was a few years ago. I don't know how old you all are, but just put yourself back at 20. And what it felt like inside to be 20 and 19 and 18, 17. Well, that was fun. 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, must be 3 years old. And as you sit there in your quiet state, and you're 3 years old, how are you feeling? What is it you know at 3? You can go to 2 if you want, but what is it you know about yourself? Do you have any need to be separate, longing, deep understanding? You don't have to have childhood memories to do this exercise. This is a feeling one. Stay in your body. Do you feel strong, weak, happy? Where do you want to go? What is it you want to do? So now I'm going to count us back out. When I count to 3, we're all back in the room. What a big room we have today. 1. And we're happy and we're feeling just wonderful and free and very clear about some of our messages from our soul journey. 1, 2, 3. So what came up for you when we did that little exercise? Did you have a desire? Did you notice yourself separate from your life, from your family? What did you notice about yourself? I hope you'll be calling in to tell us. I'd love to hear. So we were doing this with Bob earlier, who's my soul ally. The guide said to do this exercise because you would learn a lot about yourself. Now, Bob is a unique thinker. He's very, very bright, and he's an inventor. And what was happening in his, when we were asking him questions about what he was recalling about his inner child, is that he had a really deep feeling when there's a little bit of trauma, a new baby came home, and he just wanted to isolate in order to protect himself, but also he could feel it. He wanted to isolate and protect himself and feel the freedom of being isolated from all the trauma. And that's something that and it probably wasn't just of trauma, it was probably, I'm making this up now, taking his life story and changing it, it probably wasn't just trauma, it's the need as an inventor, as a creative thinker, to think for himself and not be caught up into the world of emotions that was apparently going on. Oh, goody, we have another soul journeyer, and you're on the air.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's Sasha.
Hi, Sasha. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're on a soul journey here. Are you on the bus?
No, I'm at work on a different kind of journey there.
You have a question today, or do you have something about your soul journey?
I do kind of have a question, and it relates to what you were speaking of earlier in relation to relationships where there's a strong push-pull.
Okay.
And as you know, I've had a relationship with an individual where there has been a strong push-pull. And I'm working pretty hard to actually release this relationship so that I don't have to, as I understand it, go into the dense three-dimensional mire of it all.
You don't want to live it right to the bottom of the ocean.
Well, you know, a part of the pull is some lure to wanting to experience it.
But, that's interesting.
But the releasing of it seems to be the more prudent and beneficial way to go. But I'm continually, though it's getting easier, finding out the real push-pull to trying to release this relationship.
Well, I'll tell you right off the bat that he's not as conscious about that as you.
Mm.
That's often the case when somebody, when there's an incomplete soul, I often think it's like bonding versus bondage. The guides used to use those terms a lot.
Mm.
The bonding of souls is absolutely precious and can be very pristine. When one is not aware of it and he's always pulling against you, you really don't get resolution. And I can't see, in this case, if you pull away and really conclude your bondage, if you will, really pull yourself away, because it's a bit like an addiction in a way.
A bit.
Yeah, you know it is, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, addiction is simply those energy attachments, so,
right.
You know. But it's good to put them all in that same frame, because I just don't see that he's going to get the consciousness that you are at this time in his life.
Right.
He's busy seeking a freedom, which in some cases doesn't... Do you understand what I mean when I say freedom doesn't really exist this way?
Right.
He's seeking that, and you're seeking synergy and bonding.
Right.
And those two don't go together too well.
Right.
That there's a real fondness there, but his urge is for freedom, and he has a mythical idea of what relationship's going to feel like.
Right.
And I feel like it's very difficult to do this, but your journey of separating and moving past it, in my experience, it takes a couple of years.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth doing, because all of a sudden, when you're doing a soul one and you're being conscious like you are and you keep doing your clearing, what happens is all of a sudden it's a no thing, but it might take a couple of years.
Mm.
You know?
Or I get a little closer to it all the time, and then something tries to pull me back, whether it's my own attachment, whether he reaches out to sort of tap me and try and lure me back in. And, you know, there's listening to you talk of the journey between two people is wonderful, because there is that real affection and emotion, and I think, well, should I be learning something more that I'm not? But I also realize it's not a lot of fun for me a lot of the time anymore. The fun is over. It's just a lot of difficulty and hardship. And I don't want that anymore.
It's a huge discipline to move past it.
Mm.
The other thing is, and I'm just smiling here because you have, and think about people at home, okay? You have a really big heart and you have a lot of love to give. And this isn't love. Somebody asked me a question on email, which I haven't had a moment to answer, but his question was, and maybe he's listening today, I hope he is, his question was, how do you know when you meet somebody and you're entranced whether you're in love? Is this love?
Mm-hmm.
And I was so perplexed when I read it that I didn't answer immediately, which means it got put off. But this isn't love for you right now. It's a bondage. It's an attachment. And it really is painful for you because you have so much love to give, and it's not going to come back in that definition.
Mm-hmm.
You can do unconditional love with this fella, but not the synergistic love that you want in a romantic relationship.
Right.
Even if it weren't a romantic relationship. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sensing clearer and clearer that I actually need to stop the relationship on all levels.
Yeah, because sometimes we have to do that. Just it's like people who stop drinking. You can't just dance around with a drink now and again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the thing is also, Sasha, that you talk to people, I talk to people who are 90 years old, and there's certain people in their lives they just can't see. And it's not because they don't like them. Au contraire. You know?
Right.
But I feel this about you, is that in a little while you're going to be detached from him.
Good.
And you won't have a thing about it anymore. You can see him and be his friend and all that. But right now, it's just too hard.
Right.
And the other thing I got to remind everybody is that how many thousands of years have we been around with some people? It seems like 2 years might be a long time, but you know what? It's been a long time already.
Right.
And one more thing, Sasha, is that on this planet at this time, many of us are meeting people from our soul journey and clearing that information up. So we can be in a new, consciousness. The guides keep saying it's like we're becoming a new species. And these are finishing things, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want a relationship that is like that. Ultimately, you want somebody who can teach you and you can teach the new kind of love, which is so expansive and so synergistic. And you kind of got to be open for that. And in fact, I see that coming for you. But he's different. He's probably not going to be one that attracts you right off the bat.
Mm. Okay.
Isn't you know how they say all's fair in love and war? Because I look at this one coming up and I go, oh, she's not going to have any attraction for him at first. And he's going to be the one that has this stunning ability to share real love with you. And it brings tears to my eyes because it's going to be just precious.
Thank you.
All right. So be prepared to be surprised.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Lots of love.
And you.
Bye.
That was our Canadian caller. Who else is going to call? This is about Journey of Souls, and we're all on that. And the guides keep saying that we're learning, and a lot of us know this, that we're learning to create our reality. We've always had that capacity, but this is kind of en masse. Why do you think the secret, as my stepdaughter keeps saying, is sort of like the secret has taken its place in the jargon of our times, in our consciousness in such a way. It's like hoovering your house. It's going to become a name of a kind of consciousness as opposed to just a movie, because it's what it's done is brought together in a nugget of movie. It's brought together so many principles, ancient principles for creating our reality, but the dynamic of these times is that it spreads like wildfire. So we are, and that's not the only reason, but that's an example of how right now we're a species that's beginning to stand on its tiptoes and raise above, if we can, the shadow self or the cellular victimization that we've had from leftover materials from the past. I don't know if we're going to make that. Oh, I'm glad you called. You're going to be on the air 1 second. I don't know if we're going to make that totally, but we need to be really striving for it because it's a wonderful goal. So you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, Veronica. It's Linda from Northern California.
Hi, Linda from Northern California. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Beautiful. You're the great paradigm shifter right here.
Yeah, I am. So I did your meditation of Journey of the Soul, and I wanted to share with you what I got at the age of 3 years old was being overwhelmed by my intuitive abilities, how it, all this information and insights from everything around me just, well, was kind of like bombarding me. I didn't feel like I had any control.
Oh, my. So what do you think that told you about your soul?
Well, it told me about my soul that I was tuned in and that I had developed those abilities previously.
Did you understand that as a little wee girl?
No, I just was overwhelmed and asked for it to be taken away because it was too much.
Uh-huh. And that's pretty standard for people with special gifts like that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And was there anyone around you to help you with that?
No.
Oh.
No.
Isn't it interesting, eh?
Yeah.
So how much of your life, and I know Linda, so I know some of the answers here. How much of your life did you spend bringing that forward?
Oh, years and years and years and years. First of all, I had to rediscover that I had buried it,
mm-hmm.
and then trust that as I recovered it, that it was accurate and real.
And did you have any jolts, like picking a root and then having it dissemble in front of your very eyes because it wasn't matching what was in there, making
mm-hmm.
you stop? And do you have any little stories like that?
Oh, not off the top of my head a story, mm-hmm. but I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. We try to, I tried to make my life one way, but it wouldn't, I mean, it kept snapping open and the visions kept popping through and it just wasn't working for me to be normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing I mean, you know?
Yeah, it would be wonderful if there was some kind of place that these children could go to develop tools so they could function in life.
Well, you know, there's quite a move afoot these days of people really trying to help children understand who they really are.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So as we shift our consciousness as a species, maybe that'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Do you have any questions? Thank you for sharing. That's great.
You're welcome. No, I just really enjoy your show, and thank you for having it available to all of us.
Aww,
it's a great gift to the world.
Thanks, Linda. So are you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Be well. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that's a woman who's very much an intuitive and a healer and has done some stunning work in her life with uncovering the wisdom that she's gained. That's the other thing about the soul. We talked about the soul mates and how tricky that is. But for people, many of us have been, probably all of you, have been in healing modes in different parts of the universe. Because, you know, I always say we're like Canadians and Americans. Our souls come from all over the place. And we've been in different galaxies and different consciousness levels throughout the universe. And a lot of us have been, you've been builders, you've created amazing things, you've done magic, you've done shape-shifting, you've done time travel, and so on. And apparently we have a lot of that recorded within our higher self, within our multidimensional self, and within our soul journey. So when you start to uncover what some of the aspects are, thanks for your call, I'll be with you in just a minute, when you start to uncover that, you really, and Linda said this, I know I've done my work, you have the right to, and not only that, you're encouraged to bring through the wisdom that you've accrued through centuries and centuries of existence, if not much farther than that, much longer than that. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening. Hi, how are you, Veronica?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Good.
This is Lourdes?
Lourdes from Malaga.
Hi, welcome. You have a question, or how are you doing? Did you do the little exercise?
Yes, I did, and I want to share that what I was taken back, I don't know when, and I felt I was like in a shipwreck in the middle of the ocean. I was grabbing a piece of wood, and I still feel the waves hitting me. And I don't really know what this means, but I cannot take myself out of the ocean yet. I'm still there.
Oh, my. Well, it's a past life experience, isn't it?
Should be. I don't know.
Yeah. That's what it looks like to me. It's a past life experience that you had and that you died from it. But what was the... what's the emotional content of that experience? Were you angry? Were you kind of confused about who you were?
No. Not at all. No.
So what was your emotional center at the time?
I was just getting the whole feeling of the water and the wind and the... I wasn't afraid, no. I'm not afraid, no.
Did you feel that you were dying or that you were empowered?
No, I didn't see myself dying. I didn't feel the... I even went down to the... under the water, and there was no problem for me.
Excellent. So you just had a wonderful experience in the waves of change or life.
Yeah. But it's weird, right?
Oh, I don't know about that. It's just the experience you have. Always just take it. And maybe as a soul, I don't know, because what I'm seeing here, well, anyway, as a soul journey, I'd say, okay, perhaps you're floating, you're being on a boat in the waves of change is one of your gifts, but I don't know that that's true yet. I'd have to spend more time, and we can't do that on the air. But I would look at that.
Okay.
And maybe we did that little shift for our beginning structure. Maybe that's it, eh?
Yeah.
But thank you for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's really interesting as well, because she got all kinds of messages about the movement around her in that experience. My own was interesting because I remember, at least interesting to me, it gave me a lot of clues. And I remember when I was little, and I've mentioned this before, that I remembered where I had been before. And it was mostly in the resonance, the radiance of the colors and so on. But also, a lot of us who are intuitives have a thing called synesthesia, which means that you get your sounds in color, or you get several of your senses coming together with color. Anyway, I always had a lot of sound-color relationships as a small person, and there was a lot of turmoil in my family, in my household. And I used to... be able to sit inside of myself, and I'd say there's a little brown and black velvet me inside. It was always brown and black. I don't know why. Well, because the color of the word me for me is brown and black. Anyway, I would say that there's this little brown and black me inside, and I've never been born, and I never died, and I know so much. And it was really sort of a deep place I would go to, and I was pretty small. I have early memories, so I don't know, it was like 2 or 3. And I remember looking at everybody who were in state of turmoil going, why don't they just talk about what they're feeling instead of not talking about what they're feeling? And if we all have the little, and I'll be with you in just a moment, please. If we all have that little brown and black velvet me inside, why don't we talk about it? But now I understand what it is. It's that kind of cellular thing, which is our existence, which is far beyond our experience. So you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Oh, hello. It's Dominic from London in England.
Hi.
Hello. I did an exercise. It was taking myself back to being a 3-year-old. And I just suddenly had impressions about, all the wonders of being able to construct things and the joy of science fiction monsters and robots and things. But then suddenly there was this kind of feeling of a dark absence into the future.
Oh, so that you had a kind of a vital movie inside, did you, before?
I did. No, I said I was just very enthusiastic about things on television and then comic books.
Did you have any feelings?
I suppose it was feeling this kind of enthusiasm and wonder about all the things I would probably like to make.
Oh, that's wonderful. So very, very good. What would you say about your soul journey? Would you say it was very creative?
Yes, I suppose that's it. But there's been a lot of failure in what I would want to achieve. I think it's very difficult to work that one out, really, there.
Well, you know something, Dominic? I know that you have some struggles going on about being who you really are in the world.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any truth about what you're trying to take into your life, going back to that and picking up some of the messages from the soul?
Gosh, you know, I suppose basically what I want to do with creativity is take it to such an extreme, but I suppose it just seems that maybe the things I need to work with, the tools, just haven't manifested yet.
I would say that there's a really big, first of all, you're on medication, aren't you?
No.
Oh. Have you ever worked with brain chemistry?
No, I haven't.
Well, you know what, darling? There's a book called The Edge Effect. And I would work with that and brain chemistry, because my sense of you is that a part of your difficulty or your challenge in life is trying to get to that strength of making your vehicle strong enough so that you can bring some pretty stunning creative work forward. And my sense of you is also that in that creativity, there's a great deal of sensitivity and understanding of the meaning of life and a unique way of putting it together. But I see you, and I want to strengthen your vehicle, strengthen your brain and your... Remember, the brain is a computer.
Mm-hmm.
We want to strengthen blood flow. We want to do a lot of strengthening, because I think you're here and meant to do something exceptionally creative.
I've done a lot of very strange, wonderful stuff with computer painting, and this required my kind of kind of channeling ability to put it together, but it's sort of doing that kind of thing kind of burns the mind out if I do it too much, and it seems that I need some other kind of other dimensional thing that is guiding it, and it doesn't always want to actually work.
You mean to tell me you can't always channel in what you're trying to do?
I suppose so, or maybe the channeling source, it just doesn't want to actually bother me too much these days. I don't know.
I feel like your system is fragile, and
yes.
That could probably stop certain things coming through because you would get damaged.
Yes. You know, if I do some drawing after about 10 minutes, I could be very easily worn out by it because... of probably the energies I'm channeling through, and it's it's rather worrying. So.
Well, hang on a sec. Let's all do an energy, or maybe you can hang up, Dominic, because I think what we're going to do is an energy exercise to build the light. And because to me, I want to give you a lot of vegetables.
Oh.
Yeah, because you're and you need to become more alkaline because your body vehicle is not strong enough to withstand the frequencies that you're capable of using. You understand?
Yes. You know, I'm just kind of feeling battered and not even done anything.
And what was the last line?
Sorry? I'm feeling battered without even having done anything too strenuous, you know.
It's that you're kind of exhausted, right?
Yeah.
But I would say that you're a good example of how it's a part of your soul journey to strengthen your vehicle in order to bring through a really innovative, creative drive.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be gentle and creative. What's your age, Dominic?
38.
Well, honey, I want you to have... I would probably feed you vegetables, but anybody who knows me well will laugh about that because that's what I like to do.
Uh-huh.
But it's also about alkalizing your system, but you've got to strengthen your circulatory system throughout your body. So that's like a lot of vitamin C, a lot of breathing exercises. There's a lot of herbs to do that and vitamin E. You know, I just feel like you need, once you get stronger, and there's a book called The Edge Effect, there's another one called The Mood Cure that will help you strengthen your brain because your brain is a muscle and it's not strong enough for what you're capable of doing.
Yeah, I eat a lot of fresh vegetables, but no, I can't afford vitamin supplements these days.
Okay, so just pick out on the vegetable if you can,
because
it'll help you a lot.
Yeah.
All right? Okay. Do some headstands.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, lovely to talk to you again. Okay.
Wonderful to talk to you, Dominic. Bye. Let's do some energy. Let's do some collective energy sending to people, because when I look at him, see, a lot of us are stretching and reaching to become a more evolved being, and we can call in frequencies from the universe. We can move energies through our body. We can call in the violet flame and other colored energies, and we can really make a difference. And when I look at Dominic, I feel like his vehicle is too weak for the energies that he's bringing in. And I'm going, we could all use a basic energy exercise, and a lot of you already know how to do these, but never you mind, let's do them anyway. And let's call forth, let's just use the violet flame because it's operative and it's here. We'll call in the presence of Saint Germain and the ascended beings. And let's call up the violet flame and have it burn and burn and burn in the corners of your room. And have it burn and grow and burn and grow. And the violet flame burns up all the leftover thoughts and feelings, which in, just like in the soul journey, the leftover thoughts and feelings and stuff around the room can weaken. Can you just stay online just for a minute while I run some violet flame, and then we'll talk to you. And so let's call in the violet flame and have them burn and grow and burn and grow and burn and grow in the corners of your room. And now have them swing round and round to the left until they create a great spiraling flow into the middle of the floor. And take the point of that spiral and have it move up through the soles of your feet and have the violet flame spiral up your legs, right up through your body, scouring, cleansing, transforming leftover emotions and thoughts and feelings up through the throat where you transform your consciousness of self and synthesize your own wisdom. And then fill your head with the violet flame. Fill your head with the violet flame, and especially you, Dominic, but any of us who are really sensitive and we want to burn up all the leftover influences and burn up all the dross of experience and make our brains way stronger and swirl and swirl and swirl up through the top of your head. Excellent. Excellent. And then shoot it right up to the great central sun and back down and whirl it round and round and round your body and protect yourself from all this leftover stuff. All right. Now, if it feels a bit heavy on the top of your head, just shoot it up farther. Shoo. Shoo. Good. All right. Now, I know we have a caller. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. It's Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
You're a strong soul as well, Stacy.
Well, I wanted to call because I can feel Dominic's energy very strongly, and I just felt a connection there. I've been struggling with a lot of push-pull going on with my inner soulmate. I think it might be myself. And, you know, one of my feelings is to go with my creative drive and work on a project that I have it so clearly in my mind that I can see the end product, and it's just driving me crazy. I can't seem to get anything else done. And I haven't been wanting to let myself go with it because I feel this need to do the pragmatic thing of trying to find a job or trying to organize my house or do something constructive in that matter. And I feel this pull, and it's driving me crazy.
Do you know, is the pull toward a project that you want to design?
It's towards a project, a documentary of the past year that I spent working with some amazing people who do programs for different services offered with the incarcerated population. And it's just been so incredible to have this flood of information coming at me and great people to interview, and it seems like everything is coming together in a sort of a, it's almost enchanting. Everything's just laying itself out there, and I keep trying to close my eyes, and then something will knock at me and say, no, right over here, this is what you need. Here's a cameraman. And so I'm just like...
Don't you feel that's the beckoning fingers of your soul?
Yes.
I love it because there's money coming. There's a big grant coming up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's not just you. It's like you're going to have a little team. I don't know if you're going to be part of someone else's team or if it's just going to morph around you, you know, create itself around you, but there's a big grant coming.
Wow, I'd better figure out how to apply for it.
keep talking to people because it appears that spirit, and here's the other thing is that Stacy's being working in conjunction with her soul and a lot of spiritual input. So the spiritual input is bringing people, just keep answering the phone, answer the door, answer the letters. It's going to come together.
Wonderful. I'm so excited about this project, and I just wanted to mention to Dominic that, you know, when you're in that state of wrestling with your creative self a little bit, it's probably the seed getting ready to break dirt.
Good for you. Thanks.
Hopefully we gave him enough strength in our thoughts there to help him push it through.
Right. Well, energy to Dominic and all of us who are trying to break out and do the creative projects of our world. How wonderful that you called, and I will have to say goodbye because we have to sign off.
Thank you very much.
Mom, much love, many blessings, and let us know when your project starts to come due, eh?
I will certainly send you an invitation.
Thanks, Stacy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is Veronica Entwistle, and we're talking about the journey of the soul, and as you know, we're just touching the surface. What are the clues that help you figure out what you are? Sometimes it's what works. Sometimes it's those drives deep within yourself. Sometimes it's what people say. You suddenly go, doing, that's who I am. You can just hear someone talking in the background, and you get clues about who you are through serendipitous or synchronistic ways. And some of you know by going back in time through that meditation, like with Linda's call and so on, some of you really pick up how much you knew as a small person. Take a few minutes and go back like that periodically. And really try to pull out those golden threads. Like with Sasha's call, that bumpy relationship stuff, she's got a really big heart and has even had heart surgery. And she's going to meet someone who helps her on her soul journey to actually know and believe that that real love does exist. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and you can email me. Let me know what you want to talk about, what you liked, what you don't like, and what we're going to do next. Email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. I'll spell that, veronica@veronica, Veronica, Entwistle, E-N-T, WISTLE.com. If you'd like a session with me, or if you'd like to share ideas, or whatever, please email me. I'd love to hear from you. Very soon, 5 minutes or less than 5 minutes from now, we're going to be talking to Kathleen Ingram, who's the right-hand man of Linda Kohanov at Epona Equine Facilitated Learning Center. She's a really interesting woman with quite a history of working with the evolving art of working with horses and helping us learn and grow and expand and get into our own soul journeys by using horses. Well, not just using horses, by employing the wisdom innate in horses, ancient and probably multidimensional. So if you'd like to tune back in to Paradigm Shifters at 5 o'clock, we're going to shift paradigms with Kathleen Ingram. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you for tuning in to Radiance by Design. Much love.